We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
It's always a wonderful privilege to be able to speak in front of you all tonight. It's not an opportunity I take very lightly. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for these people. Thank you for the opportunity to come up here and to speak and to preach your word. Lord, not my will be done, but yours. If it takes this sermon falling flat on its face for your word to be ministered to the hearts, Lord, let that be. If not, Lord, may you be glorified in all things. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for these people. And Lord, please bless this service, bless this sermon, and may you be glorified in every word that is spoken tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever been trying to talk to someone or communicate something to someone, and what you're trying to say to them is just going right over their head? Yes. See some people elbowing their spouse. When I used to work at Publix, I like to make puns to the people that were coming through my line to kind of try to pass the time. And this one lady, she came through my line, and I noticed that she had a bag, and it was really big. And the pattern and the design on the bag was like outer space, like galaxies and stars and everything. And this caught my eye because when I was younger, I used to want to be an astronaut, but then my dad told me the sky was the limit. So I looked at this lady's bag, and I said, "That's an awesome bag. It looks like it has a lot of space." And it went right over her head. She was just like, "Yeah, this is a great bag. I can finally fit all my stuff in it." And she just kept on talking. I was like, "Okay, you didn't get it. It's fine." But Jesus often spoke in parables and in double meanings. And please open up your Bible to John chapter 4. Jesus often used parables and double meanings to try to communicate a spiritual truth or a spiritual reality. And in this passage, he's communicating a spiritual truth using the well, and it's going right over the woman's head for the longest time, and then she finally gets it. So let's read John chapter 4 together. I'm going to pause every now and then to give some commentary and to set some things up. So starting in verse 1, is everybody there? Good. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, many of you know that the Jews had a lot of conflicts with the Samaritans. So it was very rare for the Jews to go through Samaria. If they had to go somewhere and Samaria is in the way, they go around. But Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria." So picking back up again in verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey," the humanity of Jesus, "sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." So, in verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." Now, think of this from the woman's perspective. She's a Samaritan woman. She's approaching this well, and from a distance, she sees an exhausted, tired, probably sweaty, Jewish man sitting on the edge of this well. And he's tired, and he's exhausted. And she approaches the well, and Jesus saith unto her, "Can you give me a drink? Give me to drink." This isn't a command, this is a request. "Can you give me a drink?" Now, in the eyes of the Samaritan woman, like, who is this Jewish man talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Like, what are you doing? And the Samaritans often felt oppressed by the Jews because the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. So she's thinking, aha, how the tables have turned. So she says, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee the living water." This is when it goes straight over her head. Then the woman saith unto her, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will be in him a water springing up into everlasting life." The woman still not understanding this. Then one saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And this is where Jesus gently lays his finger on her pain. He says, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly." Then the woman said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." So she's trying to change the subject. "Oh, you seem like a prophet because you know my life story." So she changes the subject and starts asking this controversial question. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. You worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and is now here, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us these things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went up out of the city, and came unto him. In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, are ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. When he says one soweth and another reapeth, he's talking about John the Baptist. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, but justified, he told me all that I ever did. I entitled this message, How to Satisfy Your Soul with the Savior. I have 3 points on how to satisfy your soul with the Savior. The first point is to recognize your need for Jesus. To satisfy your soul with the Savior, you must recognize your need for Jesus. You know, the world is always trying to offer you things that'll make your life better, more important, more fulfilling, more satisfying, just altogether just wonderful. Now, at Moody, I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV, but I was home, and I was watching a toothpaste commercial. And, you know, it was showing, oh, Colgate, whatever, I don't know the name. It was, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I've never looked that happy when I was brushing my teeth. I never have. Toothpaste has never, it's never really done it for me. You may look at the commercial and see the family buying that brand new car, that nice car. It shows that side of it, but it doesn't show the side where they're sitting at the kitchen table with all the debts and the bills to pay because they just bought this brand new car. They didn't really have the money for it. It only shows you the one side of things because the things of this world can never satisfy you. Things of this world were never meant to satisfy you. Nothing in this world can satisfy us besides Jesus Christ himself. We are not made to be satisfied and happy with anything less than Christ himself. He who has Christ and nothing else has everything. He who has Christ and nothing else has everything. Now, it's not wrong to have things. In fact, go and get them. Have things, have dreams, and have desires. But the minute you try to replace Jesus with those desires, you're going to turn into a miserable person because you're trying to fill a hole in your heart that only God is meant to fill. We must recognize our need for Jesus. Now, recognizing this does not simply take place only in the moment of salvation. You don't get saved and recognize your need for Jesus because you know if you don't have Jesus, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. It's not just a one-time thing. Recognizing your need for Jesus is an everyday thing. Like the song says, Lord, I need thee every hour. Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee every day. I need thee. We must recognize our need for a Savior. Now, this woman was living a broken life. I'm going to talk more about her life in a little bit. But she had a track record. She's been married 5 times. And now she's living with someone she's not married to. Now, this goes for everyone here today. No person on this earth, this planet Earth, can complete you. You are a complete person in of yourself with Jesus Christ. If you start looking for someone else to satisfy you and complete you, it's not going to work. You're going to It's bad for you, and it's bad for that other person. It's that person is never made to complete you or fulfill you or satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can do that. We must recognize our need for him because it is the only way to live life everlasting. Isn't it true that God is the most magnificent, marvelous, glorious, beautiful, majestic, wondrous, splendorous, holy, pure, good, righteous, loving, and patient being in all of existence? I could go on and on with this list, but the point is made. God is all of these things, and he is more, and he loves you so much more than you could ever fathom. And God knows what's best for you. And if God is the best thing in existence, wouldn't it be the most loving thing for God to do to give us himself? If God is the best thing in existence, he gave us himself. The best thing in existence is God. Therefore, the most loving thing God can do is give us himself. And that's exactly what he did. He did that on the cross when he died for your sins. He did that at the moment of salvation when he came into your heart and dwells with you. And that's what heaven is in Revelation 21. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Recognize your need for a savior, because he has given himself to us, and we must come to him. That leads me to our next point. Repent from your sin and return to Christ. The first point, recognize your need for a Savior. The second point, repent from your sin and return to Christ. Notice the connection in Revelation 21 when it says, I will give unto him that has a thirst of the fountain of the water. And in John 4 when he's talking about the water of everlasting life. After we recognize our need for Jesus, we must repent from our sin and return to Christ. Now we don't know the whole situation in this woman's life. The Bible says that she has had five husbands, not just five lovers, five husbands. And Jesus says, the man you're living with now isn't your husband. This could be your relative. We don't know every single detail of the story. This woman could either be a promiscuous woman, or this woman could just be someone who got divorced five times because she got married to someone and the man decided that they didn't love her anymore and she got a divorce and now she's living with a relative. We don't know all the details, and it's not for us to know. We should never read into the Word of God and try to put a label on someone. Well, it's never confirmed that or not. God didn't reveal that to us because it's not essential to what's trying to be communicated here. The fact of the matter is that this woman, like everyone else that has ever lived, was living a broken life and was seeking satisfaction in the wrong places. Now, Jesus, speaking in parables and allegories, used the well and the water to point out to her that he is the only way to have everlasting and abundant life. The woman finally realizes that Jesus is talking about her heart, and she leaves her water pot behind. Now, there is a striking connection between the way that the woman leaves her water pot behind and between the way Jesus talks to his disciples when they come and offer him food. Remember in the beginning, Jesus asked for a drink? In this text, did Jesus ever get his drink? When the woman came to the well to get water for her pot, did she ever get that water? No, because they found something else that was even better. Jesus found his satisfaction in doing the will of the Father, and the woman found her satisfaction in recognizing who the Savior was and repenting from the things that she thought could fulfill her life and turning to Christ. The disciples come and offer Jesus food, and he says, I have food that you don't know about because my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Both Jesus and the woman were satisfied in doing the will of God the Father, that they don't need the things of this world anymore. She goes and tells other, and Jesus waits for the people to come to him so he can minister to them. And he stays there for 2 days and ministers to them. Jesus never got his drink, and the woman never got her water, because doing the will of God was much more important to them. Now, in this situation, was water bad? You have to drink water to live. Water is not bad. But sometimes in the Christian life, living for Jesus, living for Christ, a lot of times, this is what it means. It means saying no to something good in order to say yes to something better. Living the Christian life oftentimes means saying no to something good to say yes to something better. Water wasn't bad, but they each found their hope and their satisfaction in doing the will of God the Father. There is no greater joy than the joy of serving the Lord. The psalmist says it perfectly. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. For the woman, she left her water pot behind because she found something better. Now, sadly, there are many people in the Bible who, when they come to Jesus and they realize who he is, they don't repent from their way of life. They don't repent from their sin. Like the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus and he says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you have to keep the law. And he says, I kept the law from my youth up. And Jesus says back to him, go and sell all that you have. He says, go and sell everything that you have. And it says the young rich ruler walked away discouraged because he was a great and rich man. He didn't want to get rid of his stuff. He wasn't willing to repent of his world and return to Jesus. But later on in this book, in John 12, we have another example of what it should look like to repent from our sins and of this world and return to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12, it's one of my favorite accounts in Scripture. It's when the woman comes to Jesus while he's sitting at a table with Pharisees and religious leaders. And she doesn't care about the traditions of the day. She doesn't care about what people would think of her. She comes in and lets down her hair and opens up this perfume. And she pours it over Jesus' feet. And she's washing his feet with her hair. And she recognizes who the Savior is. And she's repenting of her life that she was living. And says, Lord, I give it all to you. That was her life saving. She didn't care about what other people were thinking. She repented and poured everything she had into Jesus. And now, this woman and the woman at the well, they not only gave up what they had, they worshiped Jesus. True repentance involves giving up something with the result of receiving something else of infinite value. That is Jesus Christ. True repentance involves giving up something with the result of receiving something else of infinite value. Do you realize what you have when you repent? You have something of infinite value dwelling inside you. But yet, we still try to go after the things of the world. We're chasing after the things in the world. And that's what depravity is. That's what sin is. When we have God and we have fellowship with God, access to that. But we choose something else instead. We must repent and return to Christ. What is it that you need to give up today? What dream? What thing? What person? What career? What do you need to give up today in order to return to Christ? Philippians 3, 7 through 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Do you know what dung is? He says, I count the things that get in the way of my fellowship with Christ as dung. In order to repent, we must consider anything that prohibits our fellowship with Christ as dung. In order to repent, we must consider anything that prohibits our fellowship with Christ as dung, as a pile of garbage. Romans 8 says that we are being killed all the day long. We must die to ourselves. Ephesians 6 talks about the Christian life as a fight, as a battle. We have to put on the armor of God because every single day we have to put on the armor of God. We have to get up in the morning and say, God, I'm going to pursue you today and count everything in this world as dung in order to win Christ, in order to know Christ, because he is worth it, because he is of infinite value. Forget money and the pleasures of this world. Give me Christ, because he is better than it all. He himself is worth it all. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ is worth it all? Then we need to live like it. It's easy to say we believe that in church, but we need to get out there and live like it. We need to believe that and let it be our song. Let it be the way that we live. These are all things that we need to do on a daily basis. We need to recognize our need for a Savior on a daily basis. Every day, God, I need you. We need to repent every day. Repentance isn't just a one-time action. It's an everyday thing. Living in repentance, because repentance is a two-step process. First, we turn from our sin, and second, we turn to Christ. We need to be constantly turning to Christ every single day. in every single moment. So recognize your need for a Savior. Repent from the world and return to Christ. And my third point, we need to reveal Christ to others. This last point, to reveal Christ to others, a lot could be said about this. A whole lot could be said about revealing Christ to others. Revealing Christ to your spouse, revealing Christ to your friends, just in the way that you love them and the way you talk about them, to your coworkers, to your boss, to your employers, to your employees. You can reveal the love of Christ to them in all these ways. But tonight, I'm going to talk about revealing Christ in terms of evangelism and talking to people who don't know the gospel and living out loud to them the love of Christ so that they may come to know him. When the woman leaves her water pot in this passage, she goes into the city and tells the people there about Jesus. Meanwhile, Jesus is here dialoguing with his disciples, and he says, "Lift up your eyes and look out into the fields, for there are white ready to harvest." And as he's saying this, the people of Samaria are coming out to meet Jesus, and he stays there and ministers them for 2 days. To satisfy your soul with Christ, it is essential that you tell others about him. This step is 2 things. First, revealing Christ to others is the fruits of being satisfied with Christ. It is the evidence that you are satisfied with Christ. And 2, it produces a new love and a new kind of satisfaction for Christ. A while ago, I read this book. It was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think I need to read it again. I'm still waiting for it to work. But in this book, it talked about how to talk to people and how that means and, you know, how to get people to talk to you. And it says people build trust by talking to you. And the way to get people to talk about themselves, or the way to get people to talk, is to get them to talk about themselves and, you know, figure out what their passions are. Talk about, you know, hey, what are your kids' names? What do you do for a living? What are you passionate about? And that'll really get them going. Now, evangelism is evidence that you are in love with Christ. It's human nature to talk about what you're passionate about. Talking about Jesus, church, and the Bible, these should all be natural things to you because you love Christ, because it's human nature to talk about what you're passionate about. If you love Jesus, you will talk about him. Now, there is a weird way to do this that will push people off. Don't be that weird guy. Don't be the supernatural Christian who, you know, has everything perfect in his life and their kids are angels and they go to church every Sunday without any problems and everything. Don't be that weird person. But be honest with people and talk to them about Christ. The other part about this is that when you begin sharing your faith with others, your passion and your love for him will grow, because few things will increase your prayer life like going out with the purpose of trying to lead someone else to the Lord. Every Friday night at Moody, I go out with a group of people to the mall or to the Bean, the Chicago Bean, and we try to share the gospel with other people by having conversations with them. And let me tell you, I have entered a new way of fellowshipping and relating to the Lord when I start doing this every Friday, because I need God so desperately to try to talk to people about Christ. If you want to deepen your walk with the Lord, go out tonight and go to the mall, go somewhere, and just go out with the purpose of sharing Christ with someone. It'll change the way you look at life. It'll change the way you live your life. And it'll change the way you pray. Your love for Jesus will be evident when you begin to love the things that Christ loves. And you know who Christ loves? He loves the one sheep that got away from the 99. He loves the prodigal son. He loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can't say that you love Jesus. You can't say, oh yeah, I love Jesus in church, but then forsake your neighbor who needs Christ. There's a disconnect there. Either you're lying or you don't really know how to share your faith. And guess what? We have that available here. I believe Pastor Denver teaches the class on how to share your faith. There's lots of books. There's a book I read. It's called The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven by Mark Cale. Has anybody read that book? Now, there's this principle in this book that I think is really great. It talks about, why are so many people afraid of sharing their faith? It's like, because they're afraid that something's going to go wrong. But he broke it down, this principle. It's called the win-win-win. Now, a lot of times when people go to do something, they talk about, oh, it's a win-win situation, or it's a win-lose situation. But Mark Cahill, he breaks it down and says, sharing Christ, sharing the gospel with somebody else, it's a win-win-win situation. There's no way you can lose, because there's only 3 outcomes from sharing your faith with someone else. Either first, they completely reject you, or they persecute you. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 5? Blessed are they who persecute you for my name's sake. So if you share the gospel with someone and they persecute you, you're blessed. That's a win. If you share Christ with someone and they persecute you, win. The second, if you share Christ with someone and a seed is planted and they don't come to know Christ, guess what? A seed was planted. Paul said, I watered and someone else planted, but God gave the increase. Don't you want to be part of someone's journey to salvation? I believe the statistics now say it takes an average of 12 times for someone to hear the gospel for them to come to Christ. If you're going to be involved in that by bringing them one step closer to Christ, that's a win. So if they persecute you, you're blessed. That's a win. If you plant a seed, you're blessed. That's a win. And two, if they come to Christ, awesome. They're going to be your neighbor in heaven one day. That's great. When you leave tonight, think about wherever you are as a field ready for harvest. Love your neighbor enough to share the gospel with them. Satisfy your soul with Christ by sharing him with others. In conclusion, the woman at the well was seeking satisfaction in the wrong places, but an encounter with the Messiah showed her how to be satisfied in Christ. To satisfy your soul in Christ, you must first recognize your need for a Savior every day. Repent from your sin and return to Christ every day. And reveal Christ to others every day. This isn't a 1-2-3-step process where you start, oh, I recognize my need for a Savior, move on. No, these are all three things that you implement in your life every single day. Are you searching today? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you tired? Ask of Jesus and he will give you that living water that will be a well springing up that will give you everlasting life and will satisfy your soul with the Savior. Christian today, are you actually satisfied with Christ? Are you delighting in his fellowship every day? Are you on your knees every day fellowshipping with the Lord? Are you opening up his word that has words of truth every day to satisfy your soul with him? Because if not, you're going to be looking for something else to satisfy you. And if you do that, you're going to be a miserable Christian. That's why I think so many Christians today, they walk around, they're just so miserable. Because you're not trying to satisfy your soul with Christ. You're trying to satisfy your soul with the things of this world. Come to the well and get that living water from Jesus Christ. He is infinitely worthy to be worshipped. And he gives himself to us because he wants to have fellowship with us. And that's what the cross was about. That's what giving us the Holy Spirit was about. That's what heaven is about. It's about having fellowship with Christ, keeping your soul satisfied in the Savior. Satisfy your soul in the Savior. You must recognize your need for him. Repent and return to him and reveal him to others.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.